Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Chairman Mao. Jamie Howe. Ho Chi Minh. Asif Din. Václav Havel. Graham Saville. No Surrender. Percy Fender. Guerrilla Cricket.
Hello, welcome to another Guerrilla Cricket discussion and podcast. The Cricket Supporters Association is a fully independent, democratic, not-for-profit organisation, which has been established to give all cricket fans a voice and have their rights represented. A central pillar of giving fans that voice is their annual survey, the fifth edition of which will be launched this month, having started back in 2017. Today, I'm with Becky Fairley-Clark, who's a co-founder of the CSA. And really, we're going to be looking at two things. What has changed over the previous issues? And most importantly, what impact has it had and why cricket fans should take part? And then we'll want to look at, well, what are those key issues to be covered and how can cricket supporters actually still shape what those might be in this forthcoming survey. Becky, a very, very warm welcome back, because you've been with us before.
I know. Thank you so much for having me back. Really appreciate it.
Well, let's start with a quick reminder from you of who the CSA are and how, very importantly, you ensure that the views and needs of cricket supporters actually get represented.
Sure, thank you. So, as you mentioned, the Cricket Supporters Association is a completely independent, not-for-profit, very much designed and set up, just as you say, to give cricket fans a voice within the game. So when you think of the various stakeholders that there are in cricket, there isn't an independent fan organisation and a place where other stakeholders can come to find what fans think about what's going on within the game. So we've been set up for that. Everyone can join. We're looking for every cricket fan, whether you're a massive county championship fan or you just like international T20s or whatever, to come to take part in our survey, as you say, and other activities that we have going on, and just get your voice heard. We're very much of the opinion that obviously one individual fan, it's very unlikely that, you know, the ECB or whoever is going to listen to one individual fan. But if we all come together, have our say on all the different things that are going on within the game. So this is what the survey looks at, you know, everything from ticketing, scheduling, all the different stuff. Have their, you know, put your opinion across. And then with that, we take the data, we work it out, and we can then go forward to the ECB, to the counties, to whoever, and kind of say, this is what fans are thinking. Also reverse, as we get more numbers within the organisation, we're positioning ourselves as a place that the ECB can come to when they want to know what fans think about. So not just fans reacting all the time, but a proactive stance as well, so that stakeholders, as they say, counties or whoever, can come and say, okay, we're thinking about this. What do fans, you know, what will the fans' reaction be? So it's very much for existing cricket fans to be able to join the community, come together, and then instead of just feeling like this is the game that I love, this is the game that I spend my money on, but I, you know, what I think doesn't matter, this is the opportunity for it to matter and to kind of,
well, you touched on a couple of things there. You talked about the ECB. So to be really clear, when someone takes the time to fill in this survey, you make sure that it gets to the right people. And you mentioned the ECB about three times. Actually, when I looked at you, kindly sent me some presentations that seem to have got better and fuller and more beautiful in some ways,
yeah.
as the years have gone on of doing the survey. But yeah. that gets listened to, presented to, and discussed with the ECB particularly, right? So they see it, hear it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, quite rightly say, that's something that's grown as we've grown. So, you know, as the number of people who have taken the survey has grown substantially, and we want it to be the biggest yet, you know. And so our kind of place within cricket has also grown. And I think we've had the opportunity to kind of show that we're not a lobbying group. We're not here just to bash the ECB, but we are here to hold them accountable and to represent fans' views. So our relationship with the ECB has, you know, grown as well over that time. So we have a good working relationship with them. We know, they know that there's a new survey coming out, and they have said that they will respond to the survey. You know, what the survey is telling them, the ECB will respond directly to the Cricket Supporters Association about, you know, the different issues that are being highlighted. So, you know, I mean, and as we say, moving on, the more members that we have, the more voice we will have. You know, it's just that, you know, mm-hmm. numbers are really important here, and people from, you know, different age groups, different backgrounds, as I say, different lovers of different formats of the game. So, yeah, you know, but there is a direct good working relationship, and I have been assured, as before, that, you know, we will get a response from the ECB in terms of what the survey tells us.
Well, let's if we may just look back, not in every survey in detail. I don't think any of whose levers listening to this is quite going to want to hear that. But let's think if there are some big themes that you're seeing. Now, it started in 2017, and I think the most recent one was 2020. Hence, well, there's been four, yeah, am 20. I right? And the last one kind of started to focus in around what happens in the world of a pandemic and issues there as well. What do you think are some of the big things we've seen? One thing that absolutely struck me was you talked about growing the voice. You started off, I think, with about 300, and in the last one, was it about over 3,000? That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was getting on.
That's a growing voice, right?
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. And I think that all comes from, you know, people seeing the value of, you know, taking the surveys and something happening as a result of it.
Do you have a figure in mind for how many people you want this year?
I would love, I mean, if we could get over 5,000, you know, that would be, you know, and then the growth kind of the Cricket Sports Association is, you know, if we could then get up to like 10,000 people where they just, you know, so it starts becoming numbers that it's really, really difficult to ignore. I think we've got a great relationship already, or a growing relationship, I would say, already, which is good. But, you know, the more fans we get involved that kind of give their opinions, share their experience. We know that from the surveys that we've done that fans want to share their experience with the stakeholders within the game to ensure the growth and prosperity of cricket. So it's kind of like, let's come together, even though not every cricket fan thinks the same. I mean, let's highlight that, you know, with the survey, what you say in your opinion might not be the majority opinion, but we can put all of the facts and stats together and present those as one. And it's got to be better to kind of have had an opportunity to know that you're is being counted, a bit like in democracy, you know, in an election, than kind of just sitting there feeling frustrated and feeling like what you care about and what you think doesn't matter and doesn't count.
You don't buy a ticket, you don't win the raffle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, so.
What other things have you seen across the 4 years?
Yeah. Free to air was of. Thank you. Free to air has been massive all the way along. So, and specifically Test cricket. So, from 2017, we've had kind of over 70% of people wanting to have Test cricket free to air, which has been, you know, something we've been discussing throughout that time, and obviously is now happened with Channel 4 and the India Test series. So that's been fantastic. Perhaps unsurprisingly, the kind of, and back in 2017, to what is now the 100, we called it a city-based franchise T20, because that was how it was kind of being discussed then. There's always been concern and, you know, kind of how's that all going to work, and so related to that is scheduling and, you know, how all the different competitions are going to fit. As they say, that was a concern back in 2017 and the potential changes that were happening. And obviously now as we continue on with the 100 going in as well, and then this year with the pandemic, you know, that's certainly something with our 2021 survey will be a big kind of focus in terms of understanding what people want to see in terms of the schedule and how they feel about what's proposed, etc. And then what I think an interesting fact, though, that I, looking back on it, was in 2017 there was quite a big distrust between the kind of the Sky money in the game and whether it was needed and all that. But that has massively changed to kind of in 2020. You know, there was a, I can't remember the exact stat now, but it was a huge number of fans were very pleased with the Sky and saw the importance of the Sky revenue, of broadcast revenue, and the impact that it has all through down to the grassroots of the game. And I thought that was quite interesting that kind of has changed, because I think there was naively a consideration amongst some of the stakeholders that fans just didn't understand cricket. Don't, you know, they just have a passion and they don't really understand the commercial side and all that. But actually, you know, we do understand, we do get the bigger picture with it. And so don't dismiss it, you know, say, oh, well, fans don't really know. I think we do and we understand. So, well, that was really interesting, as I say, that's changed. But also, like, looking at ticket prices and how much people are prepared to pay for Test cricket tickets or domestic cricket tickets and stuff. So
you were kind enough to share some of those with me. And one of the things I picked up on was that our survey respondents are very realistic. So the expectation of what it's reasonable to pay has kind of risen with inflation, as it were, and perhaps a little bit beyond. So you mentioned a few things there, which I think are interesting. You've talked about free-to-air and how that has been a growing clamour within the survey. And clearly that's happened. We're not saying that's direct cause and effect, but it's clearly part of a voice that has pushed things in that direction. You've talked about value for money and pricing and ensuring that the requirements and expectations there are clearly presented forward as cricket supporters to the ECB. What about some of the more, what about the people who have responded to the survey? How has the sort of the profile changed over those 4 years?
It has changed, but it needs to continue to change as well. So we've kind of had a rise in female respondents, but we're still looking for kind of more because I know, being a female cricketer, that there are a lot of us out there. And so, you know, we need to do work there and to make sure we get as far and wide there as we possibly can within the kind of Black and Asian Middle Eastern communities. That, again, has also grown, but we want to grow that considerably more as well. And obviously we have launched our Every Cricket Fan, our diversity and inclusion initiative, and so I'm hoping that some of the work we're already doing with that will kind of filter through and help as well. Age group wise, that's been, you know, a real success for us, because we've, with our last survey, The age 16 to 24, we got a much bigger representation of that age group as well. And obviously we still want, you know, the white and the male and the older age groups absolutely to take part. But I think for it to be as, you know, as independent and as comprehensive as possible, we do need to have a fair spread of cricket fans. So we really are asking everyone kind of get involved, take the survey. We always have some sort of incentives as well. So there will be, you know, you can win cricket tickets or cricket helmets or something. We always have, you know, something as well. So there is an incentive to do it as well as just, you know, feeling good about having the chance to voice your opinion.
So you've seen big growth in numbers, but the louder the voice, the even more effective it becomes. You've seen the change in the spread in terms of inclusivity. In fact, when I looked at the numbers, going from the very first survey to the last one, you know, whilst the percentage of female responders needs to go up, it's grown about 5 or 6 times. But it needs to grow quicker. There's no doubt about that. The age profile I thought was very interesting because that gets you into other expectations. And when people are talking about things like what they expect out of a new tournament, perhaps a little more open-mindedness comes along with the younger age, you know, opening up to the younger age group, which I sort of found interesting. Also what they expect from their online consumption of the sport, which has been pushed for very much for greater ways, greater avenues for interaction with their counties, greater ways to view the game beyond just watching the telly, although that clearly is very important, hence the focus on free-to-air. And the other thing that I noticed, which I thought was quite interesting and I wanted to ask you about, was how the geographical spread has broadened. I looked at that first one. I thought, well, I'm definitely in there because I'm a Middlesex fan. And if I'm a Surrey fan, I'm also in there. There was a north-south divide with the south heavily favoured. That has really shifted across the four to be truly a much broader spread. Has that just happened sort of organically, or have you pushed very hard to make that happen?
Pushed quite hard to make that happen. We do have various partners that help kind of push out the survey as well. So the Barmy Army always push out the survey for us, and some of the counties and different things. And obviously we work with a lot of media partners. So even if they're just tweeting it and stuff like that, they get it out. So I think there's a certain amount of organic, but we were very conscious of, you know, the fact that we aren't a southeastern, you know, fan group in the same way that we're not a full, you know, 50 plus fan group, or you know, like we are trying to represent absolutely everybody. So we've tried really hard to kind of make sure that that comes across and to work with different people so that everybody at least sees the survey, you know, even if they don't have the time or the inclination to actually take it, to make sure that as many people as possible see it. So well, yeah, it's really important to us that we get, you know, the fans from all over to take it.
If this was a school report, we'd be saying it's moving in exactly the right direction, but needs to do more. And which sounds like any of my school reports ever, but it's definitely definitely encouraging that you have that breadth and that scale and that diversity. Breadth, scale, and diversity are all key, and in fact, very much in line with your values, I think, as the Cricket Supporters Association. So we've seen some themes.
Yeah.
We've seen things like real focus on wanting free-to-air. We've seen a focus on value for money. We've seen a focus on how people consume their cricket online, and a number of other things where clearly the voice is heard and it gets to the right people. So we now, though, have a new survey about to launch, but you want to hear from people, don't you, before you launch that?
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the themes you're thinking about? Because I think you want people to tell you if you've got the right ones, and if you think you've missed anything, they've got the chance to tell you what you've missed, right? So give us some ideas of that.
So, yeah, exactly. So thank you. So obviously we spend a lot of time kind of working through what we want what we think should be included in the survey, but also very conscious that we are, the Cricket Sports Association only exists as a fan organisation to represent fans. So it seems that we, you know, wrong to say this is the survey, you take it. So we're kind of taking it one step before that and saying this is what we're planning to have in the survey. So it's everything from kind of fan intention. So obviously, as we're in the pandemic, as we're coming out of the pandemic, what will that do in terms of kind of people's engagement with cricket? Their, you know, well, how much they're planning to go to live games, what concerns or, you know, difference, what's different from now, from before, and kind of stuff like that. We're also looking at county membership. So whether you are a county member and you're going to continue or you were, and trying to look at that, obviously free to air and TV rights, but then also taking that one step further and trying to understand how many different kind of channels people would be prepared to pay for if you are in a position to be able to pay for stuff. And, you know, because I know there's a lot of chat about free to air is, or different TV rights is great, good for the game, but then it also means as a fan, you might have to get more and more kind of channels, subscription channels. Ticket prices, very much a focus as always, and just to see what the, you know, the flavour is and what people are thinking. Scheduling, as I say, I think obviously this summer is looking quite tight, and you know, there's a, and especially now with the when fans might be allowed back in the grounds and how that might work, and you know, so looking at all of that, obviously talking about the, and just getting people's, you know, experiences or that, or what their anticipation about that. And it's County Championship 2022. So what people would like to see with that, mm-hmm. because obviously that's still up in the air. And again, with that, I've spoken to the ECB and they are, we're working out a way that, you know, what our fans say in this survey will, you know, work towards or be part of the kind of discussion as they're planning 2022. And just kind of the role of the fan. And we're also actually looking for, we're doing a bit of work with the next test. So looking at sustainability within cricket and, you know, fan experiences within ground, etc. So that's kind of a very broad, that's everything that we want to cover. But I, as I say, we're very aware that, you know, there might be something else that we're missing. And when I talk about cricket, we are talking about men and women's cricket as well. So, but yeah, we're very well potentially missing something or this, you know, and so we just want fans to, they can go onto the website, cricketsporters.com, have your say. And then there's a blog that kind of gives a bit more detail. And then underneath is the opportunity for people to comment, or they can email us at info@cricketsporters.com and just let us know if there's something that they definitely think should be in the survey. And we'll try and incorporate as much as we can without making it the longest survey ever that nobody wants to complete by the end, and they're just ticking any old box just to get to the end of it. So that's the idea.
So can you give us those
just to see again what those two want?
Yep, give us again those two ways that people can give you the information, can comment on the content of the survey to you. One was you gave a web address. Shout that out again. I'm going to ask you to do it one more time right at the end as well, but give it now again.
Perfect. So you can go on our website. So cricketsporters.com /have your say, or you can just email us at info@cricketsporters.com.
Perfect. Okay. I think at Guerrilla Cricket, one of the things we would certainly be keen to know, and I think you sort of have it in there, but often it's how the question is asked. One of the things we'd be interested in is how do you preserve the strength of our test playing capability whilst also accommodating new formats, and how do you get reassurance that you're able to do that? That might be a slightly different phrasing for the question. Yeah. I don't think it's going, we're not just going stop all new thinking, because that clearly is a negative way to go. But how do you guarantee and preserve the strength of the, let's call it the pinnacle of the game, while still allowing for experimentation and change in other formats that, that players play? That would be a big one for, I think I would speak for my fellow gorillas on wanting to know the answer to that question. So you'd also mentioned, let's just kind of maybe go back over them. You're looking to increase the number of female and black Middle Eastern Asian respondents, because that's clearly a key voice for you. You're looking at reassurances because of people ask you that for the revenue flow through the game, and ensure that is communicated back to cricket fans. You're continuing to push for greater cost effectiveness, and you're very keen to look at the scheduling balance of the different types of formats and activity to ensure that all cricket fans get the best experience that is going for them. Okay. Now, when does the survey launch? So when do you need people to come back to you with their suggestions and ideas?
Ideally, if people can come back to us kind of by the end of the, I'm going to say by next of the fourth test, but then that could be 2 days. So let's not say that. So yeah. On day five of the fourth test, ideally around then. So we're planning to get the survey out in the third week of March. So that just gives us a bit of time. I mean, I work with a fully ratified market researcher, puts together all the surveys and everything for us, and we use our survey tool. So we do need a bit of time to get the survey all together. But we are, it go out on the third week of March, and then we'll be pushing it as far and wide as possible. Very much would love everyone or anyone to get in contact and just let us know what they would like to talk about and what they think we all should be discussing, because it's really important. The Cricket Sports Association is only here for cricket fans, to represent fans. So, this is your survey. This is not only your chance to take the survey, but help us kind of shape the survey as well.
How much do you think it... I mean, we're in an extraordinary set of circumstances at the moment. Clearly, that's one of the things that you talked about, is scheduling in the pandemic. And there's general sense that counties, ECB, everyone actually has done a pretty phenomenal job under an extraordinary set of circumstances in which we're operating. This year, of course, isn't June the 21st, the longest day, is sort of the... The magic day that people are kind of rather focused on. We hope against all hope that happens. But this year is still exceptional. So would it be fair to say that whilst you're covering that, it's still very much the bigger, longer term picture that is the focus for the growth of the game and the satisfaction of
supporters? I think so. I think that, as you say, I mean, from our restart survey last year, fans weren't expecting that much to happen within cricket. And when we look back and think about the amount that we had and how successful it was, just phenomenal. So, and I think, like you say, this year is going to be difficult. I don't think it's going to please every fan how it's going to pan out and, all the scheduling. But, and I want people to say that and to communicate that. But absolutely, it is, we're very kind of, we have to think long term. I don't think we're going to have as much as an impact on the scheduling for this summer, maybe, but absolutely kind of looking forward and how we can see what fans want and how the game can be prosperous. And I think that's why we're asking about fan engagement and stuff like that, because I think as lovers of the game, we have to be aware that, things have changed for people and whether you still game, but, maybe your financial situation or whatever, or you're getting used to not doing cricket or doing something else, or so that's kind of where we want to get all the different data and fans are feeling towards cricket, but then also what they think about what's going on this summer. And that is really important. And I think we need to tell the stakeholders how fans are feeling about what's the plan for this summer, but then, as we say, look forward as well, and hopefully be able to as that kind of is planned as well. So,
all right. So give us one more time.
Midterm and
give us one more time. Those two ways that people can tell you their point of view about what's going to be covered. There was a email address and there was a web address for comments. Give us those two again.
I will. So it's cricketsporters.com/haveyoursay, And it was, the email address is info@cricketsupporters.com. And I would say, if you are on the Cricket Supporters website, please do sign up whilst you're there. It's completely free. It's no hassle at all. And then you'll be notified as soon as the survey is live.
Perfect. So you've actually got three things you can do. Sign up for the Cricket Supporters Association. That's dead straightforward. No pain. Loads of gain.
No.
You can ensure that you go to the website, and we'll have the URL of that website on this video version of this discussion. And you can email info@cricketsupportersassociation.com. So, Becky, thank you very much. We're all hugely encouraged by the work that you're doing, and let's hope we get that huge growth in audience, that in respondents, that makes that voice impossible to ignore. Thank you very much.
Exactly. That is exactly it. Thank you so much for having me. It's a real pleasure. Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Revolutionary cricket commentary.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.